Philippians chapter 4. This is a rich chapter containing precious promises, promises from the Lord to strengthen the people of God, familiar portion, yet we pray that the Lord will speak to our hearts, minister through His word today, bless us with His presence even now. Let's turn to Philippians 4. We're reading from verse 1 down to verse 13. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias, and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. We'll end our reading there. That wonderful word of encouragement for the people of God. Our strength is in the Lord. He is our hope and our Redeemer. With our Bibles open, let's just come before the Lord now in prayer and ask for His blessing upon the Word. Father in heaven, we come to the open book now. We're thankful for your presence with us throughout this service. We're thankful for your ministry to our hearts, even through the little ones. Even little children shall lead us. We know the Lord said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, we pray that our worship today would be heavenly worship. Thy will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know the angels of glory worship thee with all their being. And we ask, Lord, that we would have such a heart, such a desire, that we would lift high the name of Jesus, that again, as the Word of God is opened, we would be drawn to Him, who is our life, our strength, our hope, our joy, our peace, our all in all. Lord, whatever we stand in need of today, we know that we can find answers in Thee. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Lead us on with yourself now. Lead us in the right way. Lead us into the truth, Lord. Send out your light and your truth. May it lead us, each and every one. May we not only be hearers of the word, but doers also. And Lord, may we have light to live by, that we would walk in the light as Christ is in the light. We would follow after our Savior. So be with us here. Remember those with special need today. We lift up young Tim. We pray for him in hospital. Lord, that you be with him. Whatever is needed, whether he needs surgery or not, Lord, that you would pave the way. You would calm his spirit and give him peace. We think of Mrs. Watson also. We remember her. We're thankful for preserving her life. And we pray, Lord, that you would bring her through this. We ask, Lord, for those who mourn, that you would come near unto them and be their portion at this time. May they know the comfort of the Lord, comfort from the Word. And may they know your help even in their hour of great grief and sadness. So hear our cry. We're thankful that we can come to thee. Bless this word now, we pray. Give help in the ministry of it. I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As we come to this chapter of God's Word, we find it rich with promises God has given through the Apostle Paul, given to the Philippian believers, but we can claim these promises for ourselves. We can know the Lord's help at every turn. We need not be full of care, but we know that we can enjoy God's peace because He gives that peace to us as we seek His face for all that we have need of. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. I am strong in the Lord. Even in our weakness, we find our strength in the Lord, and we have that wonderful promise at the end of the chapter that our Lord, our God, will supply all our needs according to His riches, His glorious riches, riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so there are wonderful words of consolation and comfort here in this chapter for the believer. But one of the things that we know about this chapter, and the reason this chapter is so familiar to us, is because it presents solutions to anxiety, worry, fear, and the uncertainty and instability that comes upon us when we find ourselves in trial or in trouble. And verse 6 and 7 are very familiar to us when we think of those occasions when we find ourselves troubled, nervous, fretting, and carrying the burdens of life that so often weigh us down, lead to sorrow, even bitterness, and lead us to doubt and to despair sometimes. It's always good, though, to come back to the gospel and to focus our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians is the epistle of joy. And Paul is relaying how we can know joy even in times of deep sorrow. And our enjoyment is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the answer. It goes back to our view of God. What do we think of the Lord? His character. And whatever the agitating trials that we have in our life, the Christian knows for sure, for certain, that he has Christ. Whatever is going on around about, whatever we're facing, whatever storms have rolled in, we still have the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be our focus. Our joy must be in the Lord. When all around, the hymn writer said, when all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And so the believer rests in Christ. And whatever is going on round about, we have the sure foundation. We all seek joy, peace, happiness, contentment in this life. But for the Christian, it's very much a battle at times to remain focused. and to have that perspective, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, when there are so many other things that come upon us to distract us and consume us and burden us and weigh us down. And we lose perspective. But we seek that joy and the peace. Peace is so elusive. It escapes us at times. We have it. We have it for a time, but we cannot lay hold of it. We can't retain it. We can't keep it. We lose our joy and we lose our peace. Things come into our life to disturb us and to rob us of that joy and that peace. It's so elusive. And we worry habitually. Paul is talking to habitual worriers. And the tense of the text here would indicate that. He's telling them to stop worrying, which implies that they were full of concern and anxiety. We worry habitually. Don't tell me you have no concerns, no fears, no anxiety. We all have something that troubles us. We worry about everything, every detail. Things that we imagine could be, things that we conjure up in our mind, we invent things to worry about. The what ifs. We all ask the what if question. What if this happens? Or what if that happens? What am I going to do in this scenario or in this situation? How am I to respond? How will I come through that? What if? We anticipate things going wrong. We invent concerns, things that may not even come to pass as we imagine or think. We worry about things that are out of our control. And in our minds, we have this tendency to think the worst and to conjure up all kinds of scenarios so that we are torn apart, torn in different directions. And that's the word here in our text in verse 6. It talks about being careful, being full of care or anxious or being torn apart in many different directions, not knowing what to do. And even though we are told in the Word of God not to worry, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall put on. Don't be overly consumed with the temporal things, material things. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and the Lord will take care of you. All other things will be added unto you. And even though we're told not to worry, take no thought, we still do. We can't help it. We're told not to, but we do. And Paul here is addressing habitual worriers. And he's commanding them. There's an imperative here. Stop worrying. He says, quit that needless worry. But you know, the afflictions of life are many. That's easy to say. There are many things that come upon us. And above and beyond the afflictions and the trials that often consume us, whether it's a family life, business, or in service, whatever you're doing, the afflictions are many. And beyond that, the world is ever calling. There is this pull of the world, the allurements of the world, trying to suck you in. And there are many temptations. The devil has his devices. And the allurements are many, and the devil is going around as a roaring lion. He's aggressive. He can be aggressive, or he can be subtle, seeking whom he may devour, seeking to entice unstable souls. And it's very much a battle to remain focused and content and to retain that joy and peace in a world of trouble, in a world of anxiety, in a world where we face opposition, in a world where we face temptation and affliction. And the enemy can come in like a flood to disturb the peace and divide and distract and take us away from the things of the Lord. And that seemed to be happening here in the Philippian church. There were two women mentioned there who seemed to have some disagreement. And it was causing a problem in the church. And Paul is encouraging these ones to work together, help each other, have the same mind, and be those fellow laborers, lending a hand. That's the word help. Lend a hand to each other. Work together for the cause of Christ. Don't lose your focus. Don't let the devil get in and divide or distract. And so he says here, basically, the enjoyment of God's peace is conditioned upon our obedience to the Lord. And it's also conditioned upon our practice, or us making it a practice to cast our cares upon the Lord, to roll those burdens upon the Lord, not to take them upon ourselves, but to cast our cares upon the Lord because He cares for us. And so he brings us again to this truth. And often we need to repeat it to ourselves. We need to read through this chapter often. We need to repeat the truth to ourselves. We need to learn again the first principles, learning to trust. To trust the Lord, not doubt the reality of His promises. His word is truth. To rest in the Almighty, to trust in Him at all times. Even though we may not understand what He's doing, what is going on, the Lord knows. And we must learn to trust in Him. It must be our practice to cast our care upon the Lord. Learn to transfer all your care to Him. Shed that burden. Roll it on the Lord. He cares for us. And so our dwelling on and our practicing the things that are spiritually and morally excellent, as He sets them down here, these things that are true and good and just and pure and lovely and praiseworthy, think on these things do. As you not only hear the word and receive the word, as you put it into practice in your life, you will be strengthened, and the God of peace shall be with you. So the enjoyment of God's peace is conditioned upon our obedience to Him, making it a practice to cast all our care upon Him, learning to transfer our burdens to the Lord. What does Isaiah tell us in Isaiah 26, verse 3? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, stayed upon the Lord, because he trusts in the Lord. We trust in the Lord. The immutable God. Yes, the immutable God. The one who never changes. Though everything around us is changing. And there's trouble, there's uncertainty, there's fear, there's anxiety. Here is one who never changes. The immutable God remains the same. There's no change in Him who is the source of our joy and our peace. And we have to keep in mind that an unbreakable union has been forged between the believer and God in Christ. He's writing to Christians here. And he's reminding them of their relationship to the Lord. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. You can come to the Lord. You have access into His presence. You will find acceptance before the throne of grace because you are in Christ. And He says there, rejoice in the Lord. Your joy is in the Lord. And again I say rejoice. Why does He repeat it? Because it's something that needs repeated over and over again, because we so readily, so quickly lose our joy and are troubled by the things that come upon us. But he says there's an unbreakable union that has been forged. And you are accepted in Christ, reconciled to God. And nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Our circumstances may change, but that union cannot be broken. Will never be broken. It is eternally secure. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a consolation that is for the believer. And that's what he exhorts them to do here. He's exhorting them to have such a confidence, have confidence and dependence upon God, as to be free from over-anxiety about the things of this world and be distracted. He would rather have them be calm and resting in the Lord. Learn to spread it before the Lord. Trust in Him. Transfer all your burdens to Him. Know that you're in a relation with Him that cannot be broken. Stayed upon Jehovah. And Paul has in mind here, this chapter is all about Christian constancy and contentment. How does he begin? So stand fast in the Lord, about standing firm, being stable. Even though the billows should roll upon you, standing firm in the Lord. He says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, my longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And there again, he's highlighting that relationship. Yes, he loved them, but he's referring to them as those who are divinely loved. Loved of God. You are dearly beloved. You are loved of God. You're in union with Christ. And nothing, no devil, no angel, no man, no principality, no power can break that union. It's an unbreakable union. My dearly beloved and longed for. Stand firm in the Lord. That's a military term. Hold your position. Don't retreat. Hold on to the Lord. Trust in Him for strength. Stand your ground and stay at your post in the midst of the battle. Stand firm in the Lord, my dearly beloved, loved of God. He exhorts them in love. You are dearly loved and longed for. Every Christian can say that. We are loved of God, loved with an everlasting love, a love that never changes, a love that forever remains the same, an eternal love, an abiding love. Dearly beloved, children of God, His joy and crown, stand fast. That's a needed word. We need that word of encouragement. No matter how strong you may think you are, or how weak you feel today, you need this word. There are always those things that come in that disturb the peace, that can cause division if we do not watch and pray. Stand on guard. Stand fast in the Lord. So there's a call here for steadfast faith, for confidence in Jesus Christ, dependence on the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. Be careful for nothing. Continue to trust the Lord. That's what Christ said to His disciples. We heard the children reference John 14. What did the Lord say to His disciples? Let not your heart be troubled. Stop worrying, in other words. Stop being troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am. He's the great I am. He is God incarnate. Continue to believe in me. Psalm 37. We have those words, fret not. Fret not yourself because of evildoers or evil workers, but trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in Him. Rest in the Lord. But we have that wonderful word in 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 58, as Paul concludes his letter to the Corinthians, he says to them, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Stand fast. That's what Paul is saying here. Be steadfast, firm or fixed, faithful to the gospel of Christ. So no matter what comes upon you, you must remain faithful to Christ. He is faithful to you. He will never give up on you. Stand true to your convictions. Stand convicted with the truth, the glorious resurrection and second coming of Christ the Savior, because in 1 Corinthians 15, he's dealing with life in Christ, who is the resurrection. raised from the dead. He's coming again. Be unmovable. Don't be moved away from this hope that you have in the gospel. Hope in the gospel. It's not wishful thinking. It's not a fanciful dream, but gospel hope is something that is secure, again, something that is guaranteed, something that is certain in Christ. And those who will trust in Him, it says they will be raised, incorruptible, at that last day. And this is no vain hope, but sure and certain hope is built upon a sure foundation, confidence in Christ. And again, he's saying, live with that eternal perspective. If in this life we only have hope, we are of all men most miserable, but there's something more that we're living for, we're pursuing, we're looking to that city whose builder and maker is God. We are citizens not of this world, but citizens of another kingdom, of another world, a heavenly kingdom. And it's the same thing as Paul is saying here in Philippians. Our citizenship is not of this world. The end of chapter 3. Our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to subdue all things unto Himself. We have hope for this life and the life to come, because our confidence is in Jesus Christ, and therefore we will be steadfast, fixed, firm, resting in Him, unmovable. We have a sure and certain hope, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Making advances. Now you may think you're not advancing, you're not progressing, and you're discouraged along the way. You've hit a rough patch, and things are hard, and you wonder what the Lord is doing, and you question, where is the Lord in all this? How is this working for my good? And yet, God is in the heavens, sovereign, reigning supreme, working all things together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We may not see it, we may doubt it, but that is His work. He is continuing His work. And all to develop faith, trust, dependence, so that we will advance, we will mature, we will grow up in Christ. He has certain things to teach us along the way that will help us in our development, in our Christianity. Christ is our life, and we're to be looking unto Him. And yet when we take our eyes off the Lord, we do sink, we do fall, we do fail, we do fear, and we often fight against His will. But the Lord is there at work. And as you consider the first 9 verses of this chapter, Philippians 4, you have those basic principles for stability, even in a time of struggle. And those verses are familiar in verse 4 down to verse 8, verse 9. One of the things he says, let joy reign within your heart. It's hard to be joyful and to have a smile on your face when things are hard and difficult along the way. But he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. William Hendrickson, the Bible commentator, asks, can one truly rejoice when the memory of past sins vexes the soul? When those who are dear to you are suffering, when facing even persecution or possible death, Can one truly rejoice in those times? And yet he says, look at Paul. Look at the Apostle Paul, who does indeed remember his past sins. He sees friends suffering for the cause of Christ. And even now, this is a prison epistle. Even now, the Apostle Paul is sitting in a prison cell, shackled, facing possible death. And yet he rejoices and he tells others to rejoice likewise. It's evident then. It's evident from this that circumstances alone do not determine the condition of heart and mind. A Christian can be joyful within when without is dark and dreary, because he rejoices in the Lord, in his union, that oneness with Christ, the fruit of whose spirit is joy. And there are certain reasons we can rejoice as believers, even though the way may be hard. Why can we rejoice? We are saved by God's grace. And he has given us a purpose to magnify his name at all times. The Savior who died for me on the cross, died for you, believer, is willing and ready and able to supply all your needs according to his gracious, glorious riches in Christ. I'm saved by his grace, separated unto the gospel, set apart for his kingdom. And that Savior who died for me is all I need. And not only that, not only has he saved my soul, but Paul says here he has saved others and given them a work to do in his kingdom. They are helpers with me, co-laborers, workers together in the cause of Christ, in the service of Christ. Our fellowship is in the gospel. And the things that have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. And the Lord is working all things together for good concerning his church. And he had that confidence that the Lord would perfect that which concerned him and concerned the believers there at Philippi. And so he says, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord. Believer, rejoice in the Lord today. There's a call here, not only to steadfast faith, constancy, but to joyfully reflect upon God's grace in your life. Apart from grace, you are nothing. I am nothing. I am what I am by the grace of God. By grace alone, we are saved. And so to stand fast in the Lord is to stand fast in his strength, by his grace, not trusting in ourselves, but trusting in the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. And there's that idea of abandonment to Christ. Complete abandonment. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Don't be so consumed with your own interests and your own self, but serve Christ, serve his church, serve one another, because you are saved by God's grace. Give yourself over to him as a citizen of heaven. Christ must be your sovereign Lord, your King. He must rule and reign, your joy, your crown. In all things, he must have the preeminence. Let joy reign within as you meditate upon God's goodness in your life. If you look at Psalm 116 begins, I love the Lord. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the Lord in the name of the Lord, and the Lord heard me. Gracious is the Lord. and righteous. Yea, our Lord is merciful. He's gracious and merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low. He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. He's delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Joyful as you reflect upon God's grace. Thank God you're saved today. Christ is your Savior. Thank God for saving your soul from sin, setting you apart, giving you a place in His kingdom. Thank God for that free access to the throne of grace. Though a sinful creature, you're accepted now, worthy in Christ. And you can come with your petitions to Him. And so there's joy in the Savior. There's joy in service, He says here, serving others. But there's joy in supplication, bringing your petitions, your requests to the Lord. Thank God for His sovereign disposal of all things. He makes all things, even the unfavorable things, even the difficult things, work together for good to them that love God. In conclusion, Albert Barnes says, as God is unchanging, we may always find joy in Him. He's the immutable God. The character of God we loved yesterday is the same today. His promises are the same, His government the same, His readiness to impart consolation is the same, the support which He gives in every trial and temptation is the same. And though in our hearts we may find much over which to mourn, yet we look away from ourselves, that we may find abundant resources of consolation and peace and joy in Christ. It's not I, but Christ. If we look to God and not to ourselves, to heaven and not to earth, we will find permanent and substantial sources of enjoyment. Because he says, no man can be permanently happy who does not make the Lord the source of his joy, and who does not expect to find his chief pleasure in the Lord. Our catechism says, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Our joy is in the Lord. There's so many other things we could say about this chapter. He says, when you're sad, sing, rejoice in the Lord. When you're tempted to be selfish and consumed with your own interests, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at near. Have joy in serving others. Don't be so self-centered and self-consumed. There is joy in serving the Lord and serving His church. It's when you begin to worry, he says, pray. That's the time to pray, and everything by prayer and supplication. Present your petitions to the Lord. There's that sense of personal need. That's what supplication is. It's distinct from intercession. Intercession, praying on behalf of others, for others. But when there is that personal sense of need, we come to the throne of grace to supplicate, to present our own needs to the Lord, and we're exhorted to commit our way trustingly in prayer to the Lord. And so he says, stop being anxious about everything and nothing, be anxious. May there not be that undue concern filled with anxiety, worry, trouble, but take it to the Lord in prayer. The one who will hear and answer your needs. When you're sad, sing. When you're consumed with your own interests, think of the needs of others. When you begin to worry, pray. And when sin tempts you, and when there are things that would distract you and take you away, you need to come back again and meditate upon the truth. Hear and apply God's word to the situation. Think on these things do. And you have that summary there in verse 8 and 9 of Christian duty. Think on these things, dwell on them, reflect upon them. Let that meditation lead you in action, that you would apply those things and practice them in your life. And so the result of joy reigning within, of prayer rising up to God, presenting your petitions to Him, reflecting upon His truth, walking in truth, that careful meditation and planning, what does it lead to? It leads to holy living, and as a result, the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your mind and heart in and through Christ Jesus. The peace of God that will garrison your heart and your mind will stand on guard and will prevent the intrusion of enemies that would disturb the peace. Because the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind as we trust in Him. Our joy is in the Lord. May we rest in Him today, and may we know much of His peace, even though things come to trouble us and to disturb us, yet we rest in Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we're thankful for your goodness to us. We confess our weakness, Lord, so many areas. We mourn over our sin. We pray forgiveness, Lord, forever doubting your will and your way, for doubting the wisdom of God, questioning God. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us and cleanse us and help us to remain true, to stand fast in the Lord, to hold on, even though the billows roll upon us. Lord, we know that you will be there, will never leave us nor forsake us, so that the child of God can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The one who upholds the universe will hold me up, and I will be safe." Bless us now, we pray. Do us good. We're thankful for your help this morning. Be with us throughout thy day, we ask in Jesus' name.